When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. This is Shift and Stare. Thanks for joining us today. And I just want to say welcome to the party, pals. And let's get going here. It's a we're on our new midweek schedule and still trying to figure out if it's good or bad or otherwise. And but you let us know. Let us know how you like the show. And because we're keeping it going for you. I'm gonna kick it right into gear. Right away, I went over to Arizona last weekend and had to tow a trailer back. And do you guys know what happened?
Oh, no. Seriously? Did you have a blowout?
What happened?
Nothing. You did it. Everything was fine.
It went flawless. That's
good.
Right.
Oh,
good.
Pat is going there.
I did go to a really cool I had to go over and do stuff on my mom's estate. But I, while I was over there, I went to a charity event at the Phoenix Zoo, and I'm not going to get deep into this because it's not car related at all, but a very cool event. The Phoenix Zoo I hadn't been to in decades, and they have a really nice zoo there. But So during the charity event, which is on the zoo property, they say, hey, at any time, we're going to have the tram running all night long and take a 10-minute ride through the zoo and you'll really enjoy it. Bring your cocktails along, which I was down for. I could bring my cocktail and see the zoo. Well, when you got there, it said, caution, we just want to let you know it is an adult-themed tour tonight as we tell you the sexual habits of the animals. and they got really graphic. It was funny. They kept it really funny, but they used a lot of slang. They used a lot... And made it a really fun ride, especially since 90% of the animals had already gone to bed by the time we took the tram ride. But it was pretty cool. I'd never heard of that before, and it was a lot of fun. So the Tempe Diablos charity is something they do for kids and everything like that, and that's what it was. So really cool. Hey, Baird Jackson was over the weekend. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a minute of it because I was traveling and I didn't even see hardly any of the results. I think I saw a gross number of $54 million in sales. But the one car that caught my eye in the news was the Joe Dirt Daytona.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. There.
And what a lot of people don't know, and there's a great article on Hemmings.com if you're interested in it, but don't watch the video on Hemmings.com because the guy, unless you want to be frustrated, because he kept pronouncing Daytona as Daytona, and then he was there was something else that he just butchered, and I was like, oh my god, who's doing this? You know,
maybe it was AI.
Yeah, maybe. It was Bubba AI then. But a lot of people don't realize that that car that they used was actually a fully restored, like 100 point plum purple, Charger. And they made it look like that. And they point out in this video where if you open the hood, The motor is absolutely perfect and correct. The paint is correct. All the door jams are still purple. And the big furry seat covers were over the factory white seats. And the carpet that looks all gross, if you pull it back, it's actually the factory carpeting and everything. And, okay, now if you really want to get sick, it had a Dick Landy-built 440 in it. And the production company sold the car for $18,000 when the movie was over.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And, in its Joe Dirt trim, it sold for $330,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's just nuts. What a great story.
And did you also know that David Spade, who played Joe Dirt, after the film went out and bought a real deal Hemi Charger Daytona, a Daytona?
I thought I heard that. Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I know he was a car guy and I saw him at an auction out here years ago.
Yeah.
But for 18 grand, he should have bought the Joe Dirt car.
Well, you know what? I was thinking that. He went out and paid $900,000 for one of 10 built or something. You know, I was like,
yeah, well, he could have probably got them both.
Yeah.
Right off that Joe Dirt movie. They probably would have given it to him.
Yeah. He probably could have put it in the deal that, hey, and I get that car.
Yeah.
Production's done. So kind of cool. Did you say anything, Matt, that went across at Barrett Jackson that interested you?
You know, I was busy over the weekend and went out to the Grand Prix of Long Beach and didn't get a chance to watch the Barrett Jackson stuff. But yeah, Florida has been doing really well with exotic cars, with the supercars out there, 4GTs and just the high-end cars pulling good money out there for those. So it seemed like it was a good auction, but I haven't really talked to anybody who went over there yet. I guess people have just been kind of running around.
They've been busy
coming back from that. But
tell us about the Grand Prix.
That was my next question. Yeah.
So we got there a little late and unfortunately missed the vintage race that they do in the morning, which was like vintage F1 cars. Now we walked over and saw some of the cars, but didn't get to see them on the track. But overall, you know, a good race, which is interesting is that earlier about a month ago was the St. Petersburg race, which Joseph Newgarden won. Scott Dixon might won Long Beach. Joseph Newgarden won St. Petersburg, but the Penske team, they had a little bit of like a, let's call it a software issue. The push to pass button was basically calibrated when they were doing testing for the hybrid technology. And when they ran in St. Petersburg, they didn't change the software back. So he had, I guess, an easy way of saying it is he had more access to the push to pass button.
It's on all the time.
Yeah. They were able to use it in areas that you don't normally use it, like off the start and stuff like that. They were able to use it there. So here we are, fast forward a month later. And they had to disqualify Newgarden and the Penske team. I think Newgarden got disqualified. Will Power got,
he lost like 10 points.
He lost points. Scott McLaughlin was disqualified, which took Pato O'Ward and made him the winner of the race. Now a month later, you kind of take the fanfare out of it because he was like, I didn't win. But now after the fact, he gets the points. Ultimately, you get the points.
Right.
They do is they send a Uber Eats guy over to his house with a glass of champagne. And when he opens the door, he throws it in his face.
Yeah.
You know, I've been wondering how that works because I was watching the Formula One, you know, Netflix show, and they have that boost that they can use, right, for passing.
Yeah.
And it's like you hear him over the radio going, he has passing or whatever the terminology is. So what is that? I mean, it's like a video game. Does
it's
that come
exactly
up?
What it is. Yeah.
X amount of times during the race where it's available.
It's like a little nitrous button. It's like hitting the nitrous button. And yeah, you'll see on the screen during the TV broadcast how many seconds are left on their push to pass.
So are they allowed to use it so many times and then no more, or
they get a certain amount of time? Yeah, they get a certain amount of time. And I believe we're reading about,
you know, you've got
about
so
the disqualification, certain areas that they can use it.
Wow. Interesting.
I'm not the best. I'm not the authority on the rules for the push to pass button. And I should have looked into it a little bit more before we started, but we actually started the podcast and then I saw the note come up on my phone. I'm like, disqualified. What happened? Long Beach was fun. It was a great event. Thanks to Acura and Honda for having us out there and hosting us for a little bit. And of course, Galpin Autosports, they bring their rig out. They have a huge screen. So if you want to go in the building and watch it from there, they hosted us there as well, which is great. Now, I always look forward to the stadium trucks at the end as well. They bring the ramps out and they run the stadium trucks, and they got a few laps in, and then there was a pretty harsh accident. But one of the trucks hit the jump, landed kind of sideways and darted into the wall. And it kind of ran up the wall and tore down the fence. That was more of the issue. The driver, I forgot the woman's name, but she seemed okay. Everybody was fine, but because of the damage to the wall that they put up and the fence, I guess they decided they couldn't continue with the race because it was unsafe for anybody over there on the other side, right? Like the fence is there. It did its job, right? The truck literally ran up the wall and hit the fence and tore some of the fence down, better than the truck flying into the audience, for sure. But there was a little bit of damage there. So that kind of cut that part short. But overall, it was a fun weekend. It was fun to see the team. We got to get down onto the track before they started and cruise the pits a little bit. But yeah, it was a fun event. The weather was perfect the whole time. I still kind of miss having the celebrity race out there. It was just kind of,
I really miss, that was a big part of it. Yeah.
It's just a fun, different kind of race and lots of carnage and
that's why they probably stopped.
Yeah, that's why they stopped doing it for sure. It was a big undertaking to do it, like the amount of training they had to do and the appearances and the charity stuff. It was a big commitment. It was just the whole thing is
not to mention
expensive.
All the cars they had to bring out so that the actors and performers could wreck them. So
but you could tell it was an expensive thing to do because it starts weeks in advance. They got to go to Willow Springs. They got to do the training and you know, the hotels, the transportation. They visit the hospital for the children's hospital and they have a media day and they go out and they do some practice there. Like it's a big commitment and very expensive for Toyota. So I guess that Acura wasn't quite ready to do something like that again.
Well, right. Well, why doesn't Toyota just have an affair where they just get a bunch of Tesla Model 3s and put all the collision and avoidances on them and just send them all out there to just stop the hurdles?
All the cars would be standing still in the middle of the track because they wouldn't be able to move. Everything is too close.
Matt, while you were talking, I was reading up on this official notification of what happened. And it says that, basically in a nutshell, that the push to pass is sent to the cars via a CAN communication from the timing and scoring beacon directly to the cars. Well, they give all the rule numbers and everything. And it's never available during race starts or race restarts. Or a lap prior to the white flag, or 3 minutes remaining in the timed race event. However, the Team Penske manipulated the overtake system in a way that Newgarden, McLaughlin, and Power were able to use push-to-pass button on the race starts, the restarts, where they are forbidden. It was determined from the data that they gained a competitive advantage from, and this is what they say, the push-to-pass cheat, while Power did not, leading to the penalties being distributed as they were. So Newgarden and McLaughlin were disqualified because
they used it.
They used it, and it was determined as a cheat, where Power did not, and he just got the penalty.
Why would you even bother cheating like that? That's nuts,
well,
especially.
Now, you're reading all the fancy adjectives in that article. We don't know exactly how it
could have been
down.
Left on by mistake.
That's what I'm saying. They were saying the calibration was left over from when they were testing the hybrid powertrain, and how aware are the drivers? Like, that's kind of the thing is if you're Joseph Newgarden, who's a seasoned driver and very good, is he aware that he's not allowed to use it on the restart? Probably. And did he question it over the radio? Like, what's going on here? Probably did not happen. So
nobody else has this. Why do I have it?
Oh, cool. We have this now. Awesome. I'll use it.
Certainly the drivers were sitting there with a laptop going, I got this great idea before we do the race. I'm going to hack this system and do it. That's not the case.
No, that's their tech guy's job.
Yeah. Right. Which is, you know, when I went out last year and I was out there talking to Graham Rahal for a bit and I was just going, hey, you know, what kind of horsepower are you making with the cars and what kind of torque are you making with the cars and whatever? And he's like, honestly, I don't even know. He goes, because we have a Honda engine and there's a Honda engineer assigned to each driver. And the Honda engineer calibrates the engine and all the little tidbits like shift points and all kinds of stuff based for that driver. And the driver and the team itself, like Rahal's team, they don't really get to fuss with the engine. They don't really get to do that much with it. It has to be done by Honda and IndyCar, you know? So he's like, I really don't know much about the calibrations and the actual power and stuff that we're making. He goes, all I could do is give as much feedback the driver can and the team can, and then it gets sort of secretly tuned. You know, I guess they're just trying to create, obviously they're just trying to create some parity between the drivers, but without.
Well, plus the drivers are the ones who are interviewed. So why have that information available? Because what if they have a slip of the tongue or something in an interview, you know, it's like, we always do this, you know, and
I'm sure we can look into it and go, yes, we know the engines are rated between, you know, they're all calibrated to be around 450 horsepower, 650 horsepower, or something like that. And you won't get like an official number. You'll just get a statement from IndyCar or Honda. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting.
That all said, and that we're not saying they did anything intentionally. However, at the end of the day, racing has always been known about how can you bend the rules and figure it out. And in today's world of everything being electronics, that is how you would go about it.
Bad manners. Bad manners.
Yes.
Is it worth the consequences if you get caught? And you will get caught.
Not always. Smokey Yunick raced his scale 66 Chevelle for an entire season and didn't even figure it out because the templates all fit and everything. They didn't realize the car had been narrowed by 6 inches to make it cut through the air much faster.
Look,
but that was in 1966.
Well, that was the tech then.
You're right.
So if you got a good programmer who can figure out how to, hey, what if we gobble up this stuff being sent through the air and use it early? You know, I mean, you never know. You never know.
You know, I was talking to Pete Brock a while ago, and when he designed his BRE Roadster, which Adam Carolla has, he came over there and then he was like, see that car? And he go, and I go, yeah. He goes, see that front piece? I go, yeah, the air dam, the splitter. He goes, nah, that's brake ducts. And I go, brake ducts, huh? For cooling ducts. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, I did that car. He goes, I wanted a splitter on the front, and we couldn't get a splitter on the front. There was against the rules. He goes, so I designed an air dam that had directed cooling into the brakes, and I had cooled brake ducts on the front. But you see, I gave it a little bit of a lip as like a splitter. And I said, yeah, how'd that work? He goes, we won the championship that year. The next year, everyone had quote unquote brake ducts.
Yeah.
There's always something.
Yeah. I remember back in the 80s, there was a top fuel dragster, and I cannot remember who it was, but we all know that drag racing, they roll into the beams, and there are two beams. There's shallow and there's deep. What that means is if you break the first beam, your lights are staged, then you go to the next one. And what these guys will do, if you ever see them inching up on TV or at the races, they're trying to just hit that second beam because...
Yeah, with the front edge of the tire.
Right, with the front edge of the tire, so that they are just making the beam go off or the light go off, their yellow second yellow light go on, so they're staged. Because then if they leave a little too soon or something, they've got a fraction of a second. What a racer had figured out was, I'm just going to put a piece of aluminum that sticks down from the nose of my car and is painted flat black. And so he would roll in and that flat black piece of aluminum would break the beam and he'd be, like 3 inches farther back than everybody else. And he could stop and start building that momentum forward, which we know in drag racing at the top fuel level, especially, can win you,
it's like a running start.
Figure it out.
It's like getting a running start. It's just, yes. Like you said, it's fractions of a second and about 3 inches of distance, maybe even less, but it's like getting a running start or a rolling start, if you will, in this case, at the launch of that race. Yeah.
And so they're always, and it's not always cheating. It's just figuring out, like Pete Brock or whatever, how can you bend the rules?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, it's not like Pete Brock's team won because of the splitter on it, but
right.
it was just, here you are 40, 50 years
you
later. Now it's a fun story. It's a fun story to go. Yeah. This is how air dams became legal in that racing class the following year. It got passed off as something else. He goes, but it wasn't like he did something and didn't get approved. He's like, I designed it. They approved it. I put it on the car. It is what it is. What do you want me to do?
Didn't they put extra fuel in the frame and weight in the frame?
Well, there's
and
been
all these
everything.
Yeah, know? I mean, everything you can imagine.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
saving money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Or using fuel line that's twice as big around because it gives you an extra gallon of gas, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff.
Any edge you can get. All right.
Hey, you're going to come down here next week. Why are you coming to town, Aaron?
I don't know. Somebody's going to make a mess in the concrete on Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah, it's getting his Hollywood star on Tuesday. And it is open to the public.
Oh, not his face at Grauman's? They're not putting his face in the cement.
Oh, God. No. Or what's the Madame Trousseau's wax museum?
The wax museum. Yeah.
Where it's gonna
did
be?
Did they tell you where it was gonna be?
Yeah. Do they know where?
Wait a minute. That's yet? Roth. That's not Dad. I have that information somewhere. I don't have it in front of me. But he's getting his right on the main boulevard. It's not on a. It's not like in a alleyway or behind a dumpster. It's right up front and center.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting, man. That's a big deal.
When you apply for that, their whole thing is like, who are you going to bring? Like, what celebrities are you going to bring by your side? Because they love the media attention.
Sure.
You know? So who's coming out with your dad? He's not going to roll out there by himself. And listen, I know the family's going to go, and I think that's great, but the Hollywood Walk of Fame doesn't care. They want celebrities.
I know. So I'm looking up the rest. I know Guy Fieri is going to talk, and I know Dad's longtime manager, Tom Consolo, is going to talk. And then I'm trying to see who the third person is. I think there's a third person, too. Might be a surprise, but it's gonna be really fun. It's a big deal, and we're all gonna be there. And I know when we went to Guy's when he got his, it was a real shit show, man. It's like there's no place to sit, that there's no place to stand. We stood on the street, and it was very difficult to be there. No place to park. You know, they don't block off the street. It is an active street.
Yeah.
And it's a little. Oh, John Mayer. That's right. And you may have to look. John Mayer is gonna be the third speaker or the second speaker. So very cool. Guy had what's his name? The actor. You know, Mr. Beat Swagger. He did the commercials where he was. Swirling a booger in his fingers, you know.
Jim Carrey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Jim Carrey did the joke version.
Jim Carrey did such a great parody of that on the side.
Yeah.
Matthew was really cool and an amazing speaker. It was really a special treat to watch him talk. Guy is an incredible speaker, and it's going to be, and he's a huge fan and Dad's partner and a longtime friend of the family. So it's going to be really fun to hear him speak, and he's very funny. And John Mayer, I don't know, you know, if everybody knows, but John Mayer is a heavy dude. This guy is so soulful and so deep in thought all the time. To hear him speak, he may get cut short. We'll see. But he is an incredible speaker, and I'm sure is going to be very, very soulful. And then Tom Consolo, he used to work with Irving Azoff for decades. Dad brought him out of retirement, and he's been Dad's manager for a long time, and they've had a very, very long relationship. So you're going to hear a very fun, entertaining partner and friend and brother and fan. You're going to hear a fellow musician who's deep and soulful, and then you're going to hear a working, you know, management professional, you know, who's followed Dad in his career for decades. It's going to be a really interesting trio of speakers, and it should be, I think it's about an hour long, and really exciting. Now Dad does have a star with Van Halen, I believe that they already have a star, right, Brad? Doesn't Dad and Van Halen have a star?
I thought they did, yes.
Yeah, I think they did that back in the 80s. But this is his home, right?
Well, Matt and I are going to be there. We're going to dress up as homeless people and wander right through the ceremony.
I might dress up as Spider-Man. You wouldn't know because there's going to be like 17 Spider-Men down there.
Oh, my gosh. So, Brad, be sure. I don't know if you get these ads on your Instagram, but be sure to wear those little flip-flops with the dick on the bottom. So that you leave dick prints.
I haven't seen those, but...
Be sure to walk through the concrete with a pair of those.
It must be something that you've searched for, and now you're getting ads.
I'm telling you, man, I think they're throwing stuff to the wall trying to see what sticks, because I get some really bizarre stuff on my social media.
That say, well, we're not going to make these anymore, so buy them now.
Yeah, right?
By the way, the star on the Walk of Fame, somebody has to pay for that. And usually it's like a movie studio or a record label or whatever. And the price went up a couple of years ago. It was $50,000 to get it. Now it's $75,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Inflation, man.
Yeah. Now, what typically happens is that they try to tie it into the promotion. So like if you're Chris Pratt and, you know, a Guardians of the Galaxy movie is coming out. Sure, you apply, you get it sponsored by,
a
Marvel Studios or something, and go, hey, this is actually really good timing as well. And we'll get Robert Downey Jr. to show up and Universal Studios or Marvel will pay the $75,000.
right. Yeah.
I wish you hadn't brought this up, Matt, but now that you put me on the spot, yes, I'm paying the tag. Okay.
It's, yeah. Brad's paying the $75,000.
Just a gift for the guy. So.
Well, we all know Irving is not going to pay for it.
We know that for sure.
He's probably getting paid for it somewhere.
but it does help with the promotion of the summer tour. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this has been going on for a while. I think before the tour was initially planned. So, we kind of knew about it, a year or so ago. So
it doesn't happen quickly. No,
no, it doesn't happen quickly. I don't know how many years ago it was submitted, but
yeah. So what happens is when you submit in like April, May, they choose in June and then the winner has 2 years to commit to a date to get
right.
That's right.
Yeah. I think Dad was coming to the end of that 2 years. Yeah. I remember this. This has been news in our family for a while. It's the Dad just hadn't formulated a date.
But you're right, Brad. Now the timing's right because he's coming toward the end of that 2 year time frame and announcing the tour. And it's just, it's great. It's great publicity and,
I mean, come on,
awesome. Dad's 76. Good for him, man.
He's on fire right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't change his marketing team. He didn't change his management team. He's just, I think if every entertainer or public figure looks to stay relevant in their old age, right? And Dad is, man, I know there was a time in the past decade where he's mentioned it. I really hope that I'm still relevant and I really hope that I can continue, this legacy. And I mean, here he is. Damn, Pop. It's like, I think he's working harder than I've ever seen him. It's I don't know. It's
good for him, man.
It's awesome. I'm so proud of him, and he really deserves it. Regardless of what any critics have to say, Dad works very hard and he's done incredible things in the world, and his philanthropy and things that people don't even know about is massive. And I love that he doesn't advertise everything that he does. And things like this, I think he deserves 100%. It's awesome.
Yep.
Cool.
That'll be good. That'll be fun.
Hey, Matt, I have a riddle for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What has four motors, huge power, and is loaded with a big bag of tricks?
But is not currently in your shop. And just got a recall.
Nope.
No? Oh, okay. A Dorito truck.
A Mercedes G-Wagon.
Oh, my God. You nailed it. How did you do that?
Oh, that was
That's right.
Off.
The Mercedes-Benz G580. So tell us about it, Matt.
We have now an all-electric G-Wagon.
No, let me correct you. Mercedes does. None of us do.
Yes.
You said we have.
Yes. The Mercedes-Benz G580 with EQ technology. That is the actual name. Mercedes-Benz G580 with EQ technology.
Is that ick technology?
That is a mouthful for sure. Yes. It's going to have 579 horsepower. They did a lot of, by the way, 859 pound-feet of torque. They did a lot of testing to make sure its off-road capabilities are there, which I assume they had time to do that because there's not a lot of aerodynamic testing. It's just still just a big brick.
It's still a brick.
It's going to have a massive battery, I believe.
Let me see. Is that the one in the rear square spare tire?
Yeah. By 116 kilowatt battery, it'll do 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds. Probably come in around 250 miles of range. Depending on how you use it, but that's kind of on average with what's out there.
What things now, that weigh 8,000 pounds?
Yeah, 7,716 pounds.
Nailed it.
pretty much nailed it. Now I joke about the about the aerodynamics. They actually did make it a little bit swoopier. Pretty much you can do that by blocking off the grill.
They made rounded flares.
Well, you block off the grill because the air doesn't have to go into the radiator, and then you just divert air around the front. That alone is good for some reduction in you know, some improvement in the drag coefficient. It does a 0.44. Now, by comparison, I think a Cybertruck is like 0.34, somewhere around 3.4.
How about the twin spin technology? And how long do you think it'll be before there's a hack for that?
So I didn't go out to CES, but there was some Mercedes event and they were doing this thing. And I forgot what it's actually called.
So you've got a paddle on each side, right or left, and it will just operate the wheel so that you can make a 360 degree turn, but it will only allow you to do it twice in each direction before it disables it partial, you know, for a while. But I'll guarantee you somebody will have a hack so that you can go out and do in the middle of an intersection, you know?
Right.
Well, I think that's what they did at CES is I think they basically, the limitation, they removed it and they said, hey, you got to come out like to the strip or whatever, or the parking lot off the strip for the Mercedes event. And they had a bunch of these things dancing around in circles out there. Just kind of a weird.
Okay.
Weird
I got to ask you guys,
by the way, when I saw them doing it, I was like, aren't some of them going the opposite direction? Aren't they just tearing tires apart?
Right or left? Yeah.
Yeah, but aren't some of the tires going opposite directions to get it to spin that way? So it's not four-wheel steering. They're spinning one direction, the other direction to make it turn that way.
Wow.
You know, so two wheels are turning the opposite direction. And I don't know. It's like, aren't you just tearing tires apart? It's 7,700 pounds on asphalt. It's just like, yeah, you're right. I think the limitation of doing it twice is less about tearing up the intersection and more about just eating through tires. It's just like,
yeah. And
so let me ask you guys, do you like the G-Wagon? I can't figure out if I like it. Sometimes I'll see one, and if it's configured just correctly, the ride height and the color, but most of the time I see them and I just go, oh God, I just don't.
I like the vintage ones, you know, when they were still military or when they're retired military surplus. It just looks like it was meant to be. All the urban versions of it to me are just obnoxious.
The worst ones are the super raised lime green.
Yeah.
So
I never really liked the G-Wagon, but I still have this feeling like it's a very good, capable vehicle once you like drive it and use it the way it should be used. Being a Mercedes, I think it's all there. I just don't get it like around town. Like,
but we know that 99% of them never see dirt.
You know. So speaking of that,
Range Rover too, right? So
exactly.
Yeah, true. Ours isn't. My wife wants an Urban Defender, and we got her an Urban Defender. And literally, we're going to Urban for all the hot rod stuff. But speaking of that lime green one, so I saw one in Tahoe, and my friend Russell from Fair Parts, he was up there, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm in town, and I just bought a G-Wagon. I said, oh, my God, I just saw the most obnoxious, ugly, like, I'm a big prick G-Wagon. He goes, oh, yeah, that was me. I'm like, oh, of course it is. He's like, yep, of course it is. I'm like, dude, you seriously bought that one? Oh, my God, it's so garish. But he loves being that guy. He loves the attention. He loves, you know, he's that guy. He's a great guy. I actually talked to him the other day, and he's a great guy. I love him to death. But, yeah, I was like, seriously, dude? Of course.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those, the lifted.
Well, it's
like
a limited edition, right? Green. It's a special edition.
Yeah. We saw one in Monterey a few years ago. We were, like, walking into the Gooding auction, and I think it was maybe Adam, when he was like, look at this stupid thing. And he goes, who drives this thing? And then, like, on the other side of the vehicle, the guy's like, me, I drive it, it's mine.
They gotta know.
He laughed, you know, and of course, and Adam's like, what are you doing? And he's, you know, but it was funny. The guy just kind of appeared out of nowhere. He's like, it's me.
I'm the guy. Yeah. And he's wearing a lime green outfit.
And he's got an arrow through his head, you know.
But, all right. We're going to end it on that note. Lime green G-Wagons.
Well, I want to know if Matt had any trouble with the Cybertruck recall. Because that thing's going overseas, right?
It's not going overseas yet. They called me and they said they're taking it to Florida.
Which I saw it.
Oh, that's right.
When I was coming back from Arizona, there was a Cybertruck on a hauler going east. And I said, that's probably the one Matt's sold.
they said they're going to pick it up today. And I said, I got to do a podcast. So now they got to pick it up tomorrow. So it's still here. Yes, there's an issue with the gas pedal where it moves. And it
has a gas pedal?
Well, it has an accelerator.
That's the issue. That's it. They put a gas pedal.
I got excited.
And then I don't know all the details. I know it when it, if you floor it, it can get lodged behind a piece of the trim piece, like the carpeted cardboard piece, and it can stick there. That's the issue. But then they were like, yeah, because they were installed and they installed it and they used this soap as a lubrication. And I was like, I'm not sure how that makes the gas pedal.
Should
stick
we
behind
clearance
the thing,
it or just put a bar of soap?
I got a thumbtack. Let's stick it to the.
Yeah. So they're all going to be recalled. They got to be replaced. And
all right.
I haven't heard anything about it. But again, I don't own the vehicle. The guy that I was working with technically doesn't own the vehicle anymore. So somebody else does.
Well, I'll let you know because it looks like my neighbor has one in his driveway as of last night. So I'll let you know.
Well, be careful because you have a habit of getting trucks driven in through.
You know, why'd you have to say that? Because you're right. Trucks go through my house.
And you literally have one there that's recalled for acceleration issues. The throttle.
And you know what? That one's not a download either.
Yeah,
physical recall.
No, Brad, all you got to do is go over there and just yank the power cord out from under it, and it'll stop working.
Exactly. That's a good idea. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, gosh. There you go.
Yeah, all right, there we guys. Go. That's it. All right,
happy
everyone.
Hump day.
Matt, tell them where they can find us online.
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com is the website. And these new episodes... Hopefully you're listening to some ads to the new episodes. And there's an ad that's going to pop up in the middle of the show if you didn't hear it already. I think as we start to figure this out, we might want to come up with like a pause so it's less harsh for you guys as the listeners. But it's a new platform. It's all automated. It's kind of out of our control. I'm just giving you guys a heads up. Somehow we have to at least cover the cost of doing this show and which we haven't done in a while, so if
it does come up in this show right where Aaron says, yeah, and my dad's getting a star on the hey everyone we have the new
yeah
that's not us
yeah
so
anyway, shiftandsteer.com is the website. You can check us out on social media, follow me at Moderator, and drink Bravago. Buy yourself some Bravago.
There you go. Aaron,
Yeah. The more you drink, the better we sound. Yeah. I'm Aaron Hagar. You can find me anywhere, really. Just look under your banner.
Find him in Hollywood next week. Go down there.
Yeah, you can find me in Hollywood on Tuesday.
Hey, everyone. Remember, it's bondspeedwheels.com or on Instagram. If you need wheels, we have them. We make them since 1996. And I'm Brad Fanshaw, but you can find me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. Yeah, I know. If you look up Sweet. Brad Fanshaw, there's a little one that pops up too, and I don't know why I didn't use that, but this numerologist once told me that my name would get me more luck if I used Bradley, and it has not worked. So any longer believe in numerology.
Well, Brad, at least when you type in your name on the internet, you don't get a bunch of Chinese porn. You type in AaronHagar.com and a bunch of Chinese porn comes up. It's
there you go.
Not nice. I'm trying to get my name back.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. We'll be back next week. And that's a promise, not a threat.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.